Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. At just 25 years old, Chef Lazarus Lynch occupies his own unique space in the culinary world. He began by posting cooking videos to YouTube from his dorm room, and he became known by the moniker Son of a Southern Chef. Lynch has a certain style, a vibrancy that can be felt and seen in all that he does, from his new cookbook, Son of a Southern Chef, Cook with Soul, to his hosting duties for the Food Network's digital series, Comfort Nation. Now, you might think that this young man hails from Atlanta or Houston. Nope, he's from Queens, New York in the house. Lynch draws inspiration from his upbringing in Jamaica, Queens, and from his late father, Johnny Ray Lynch, who passed down generations of recipes, like cinnamon rolls, for example, but not just any cinnamon rolls, as Lazarus explains in this clip.
What's more comforting than cinnamon rolls? Sweet potato pecan cinnamon rolls with a bourbon glaze. I know. Who thought of it? Well, let's not brag here. Let's get started. We're gonna start off by making the dough itself. What I have inside of the saucepan is unsalted butter. Once that gets melted, I'm gonna shut it off my heat and pour in my milk. We don't need that to come to a boil or a simmer. We just wanna warm up the milk.
Lynch's debut cookbook, which is a sight to be seen, the recipes are accompanied by this photography that you might expect to see in some Bushwick gallery. For example, there's a rib slider, and it's sitting on a Rubik's Cube with the sauce dripping down the sides. And then there's this photo of a stack of, I counted them, 17 pancakes, and there's a tiny little Lazarus sitting atop the stack as syrup is being dripped out of a sequin-covered sneaker. You get the idea. Lazarus, welcome to All of It.
Thank you, Allison. What an introduction.
Your cookbook starts with these beautiful stories about your parents. And your mom's from Ghana and your dad is from Alabama, right? Raised in Alabama. When you think about how they each influenced you and your cooking, how would you describe what their influence has been?
Wow. I think, you know, it's really been cook food that tastes really good, that is resourceful, that has story, that has soul. And that was the information they passed down through their cooking. You know, my parents were not trained chefs like I am today. They didn't go to culinary school. All they had was a little bit of something in a can, a little bit of beans, a little bit of rice, and fed an army. Because I grew up with four brothers and sisters, a mom and a dad. So there's six of us in the house. And then at any given moment, family, friends, cousin, this one, that one. So there's literally almost 10 people in the house on a given day during the week. So what they did was they said, okay, what we have, we're going to stretch, we're going to multiply. And that is sort of the lesson I learned from my mother and my father, to be resourceful in the kitchen.
I can remember my grandma, she made great dishes, but they didn't write everything down.
Yeah.
They're like, honey, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Right.
Did you, as you mentioned, you know, you're a chef. What was it like to try to take some of these recipes and then really figure out, you know, I need actual amounts, especially if I'm going to put it in a cookbook?
Well, you know what? That process started, oh, goodness, 2014. And I remember having a break from college. I was going to Buffalo State College, and I used a portion of my spring break to talk to my dad, just me and him talk and connect. And I don't think, you know, I don't think people do that enough. I think we think, oh, our parents are going to be here forever. Yeah. Grandparents are going to be here forever. But I told myself, let me do this now while it's on my heart to do. And it was literally just a personal fulfillment assignment. I said, I'm going to talk to my dad, get everything on camera. And I asked him, I said, tell me how to make the coleslaw. Tell me how to make the mac and cheese. Now, even though I had seen him make all of this food growing up, I didn't have a reference on camera of him talking about it. So I used that moment. I wrote everything down. I kept it in a notebook. And I'm so glad I did.
Yeah,
I have a record.
What a smart thing to do. And also, you know, you have your family influence and then you have where you grew up influence. You can't, wherever you're from, wherever you spent your days going to and from school, on the streets, it seeps into you. And so you're from Queens. It's from one of the most diverse, if not the most diverse neighborhood in the United States.
Oh,
so
sure.
did you absorb some of those different flavors?
Absolutely.
Pun intended.
Yeah, no, really. Yeah, I mean, you know, anyone who's ever visited Queens understands the real sort of dynamic and energy and diversity of cultures and languages. I went to a school called PS 144 in Forest Hills, and that was technically outside of my zone in Jamaica, Queens, about 25 minutes away. But I went to school with a bunch of, you know, Asian kids, Latino kids, Puerto Ricans, you know, all different types. So lunch for me was like, I had my little can of sardines that my mother packed for me with some saltine crackers and an apple. And my other friend next to me had kimchi. And then the other friend next to me had some Indian, you know, some Indian
wonderful
dish
curry
and spices
something.
Or
yeah.
curry. So it was always around me. It was always around me. And I think by virtue of being raised in a city like this, you absorb all different kinds of information, and you don't, you know, you're less likely, I guess, to discriminate with flavor and with cultures and cuisine. So it was really easy for me, as well as growing up in a household where my mother's from Guyana, she's an immigrant, my father's from Alabama. So I had this influence of cultures anyway in my own household.
My guest is Lazarus Lynch. The name of his new cookbook is Son of a Southern Chef. So I want to talk about your rise, because you started out online, right?
Right.
Doing Instagram stories out of your dorm room.
Oh, I love that story.
So when did you realize this was going to be your path, that you were going to be able to use social media to build your brand and build your business?
I didn't know. I don't think social media, the term, really entered into my universe until... 2015. Before that, I was blogging. I blogged in high school, and I had a teacher who encouraged me to write, and I thought, oh, okay, I'd write. But my goal was really to be a chef. I wanted to work in a restaurant like my father was. He was a restaurant owner and chef, and that's what I wanted to do. And I started talking more often and, you know, doing leadership things in school. And so, you know, they said, oh, you've got really good public speaking skills. Maybe you should think about that. Maybe you should speak more in school. So literally just using those skill sets, speaking and writing, led me to creating videos. And again, there was no social media. There was no following. There was nothing like that. There was no build your brand. I mean, mm-hmm. I was 17 years old. So I literally was just following what felt correct, what felt right to me. And that wasn't always easy, because when I went to college, you know, I thought I had a path. I thought I was going to study nutrition and dietetics, and that I was going to translate mm-hmm. that career as a chef, but, you know, someone who sort of educates people on how to eat well. And the video portion was not at all in my brain. And it wasn't until I said, let me do this YouTube project. You know, I still love making videos, but let me try something new. Let me teach people on my campus how to cook. So it wasn't really about building a brand. It wasn't about getting followers. It was really just about, let me share this information. Because looking around my campus, it's like, you guys don't know how to cook. Y'all need some help. So you know, that's sort of the seed of it all. But 2015 came along. And
can I interrupt for 1 minute, though?
Yes, interrupt.
You know what? That's why you're successful, because it was authentic and it was organic and original. It's not because you made a plot and you made a plan. What you just described is something that just came from your heart and your creativity, and you saw a need and you filled it. And I think that's something that's really missing these days. That's just my commentary, side note.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I think people look at my life, or they look at my work, and they think, you're 25. How did you do that? You know, you have a book out. And, you know, the thing that I would say to that is that when you follow, it sounds so cliche, but when you follow your path, your heart, whatever is true for you, and not compare yourself to someone else's success or someone else's accomplishment, and you really focus on your path, that's where the joy is. And for me, it's about following the joy. My father followed the joy. He left this earth, you know, very early. In our times, mm-hmm. he was 53 years old, but he passed down to me something that is sort of irreplaceable, something that you can't learn in a textbook, and that's follow your heart, follow your path. And I've been very blessed that that's translated into a career. But here's the truth. If I didn't get a book deal, and I got a lot of rejections before I got a book deal, if I listened to all the people that said, you're too young, you don't have enough experience, what do you know about Southern food? If I listened to those voices, and then even the inner voices within ourselves, the inner critic of ourselves, if I would have listened to those voices, I would not be sitting here in front of you today, Allison. I would probably be somewhere else or living someone else's dream of me. So that's the real freedom here. And, you know, I'm just inspired. I think the cookbook is a wonderful tool, not only to get people inspired to cook and learn about a cuisine that they probably don't know, but it's also just to encourage people to live your truth, live your dreams. And I think you'll see that through the book.
My guest is Lazarus Lynch. The name of his book is Son of a Southern Chef. I'm going to talk about the recipes in a minute, but I have to talk about the look of the book.
Yes.
The book is vibrant. It is colorful. It is full of the photographs. Like I said, they really look like they could belong in a gallery. Tell me about the sessions for filming the food in this book.
Well, I have a fantastic friend and creative collaborator, partner, director, Anisha Sisodia. She's from Chicago, and you know, she moved to New York a few years before we shot the book. And you know, we've been working together. We started off working together just as creative partners, and she would photograph me in the kitchen and doing a couple things. And then I invited her to work on this book with me. It was her first book. It was my first book, both like 25 years old, figuring things out. But we just brought together a team of really creative people, mostly friends. And we said, let's make something that's never been done before. And I think there's a, you know, famous saying that people, you know, authors generally write the book that they want to read.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at the cookbook market, I didn't see representation. I didn't see diversity in image and in style and in identity and in authenticity. And so it was really important for us to use colors that illustrate my spirit, colors that, you know, evoke personality and emotion, and really help to highlight this food. And so I think that's what we did. And I'm so glad that you are so into the vibe of it.
Totally. And I love also that you have these little moments for your people, your readers, to think about cooking or thinking about, this is my favorite, it says, if cooking stresses you out, this is just a whole page in the book, it's all just devoted to this. If cooking stresses you out, throw on some Beyonce, start a dance party, pop a bottle, then start cooking.
Hey.
When you turn cooking into a party, the stress can't stay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's true. You know, I think people are intimidated by the kitchen. You know, they think, I don't have that crazy expensive Japanese knife, so I can't cook. Or I don't know how to debone a chicken or a fish. I can't cook. And I wanted this book to feel approachable. I wanted it to feel how I felt when I was 12 years old, looking at my 40-something-year-old dad in the kitchen create all these recipes. Like, I can do that. I can do that. So, you know, that's the goal here. And I think, you know, with stress and all of those emotions, you know, we don't talk about that enough in the cooking experience. But I do think people get overwhelmed and they're tired and they come home from a long day of work. And the last thing they want to do is, you know, look through a book and think, oh, my God, I can't make that. That looks like something I'd buy at Per Se. By the way, I love Per Se. Nothing against Per Se. But, you know, it has to be approachable. And that's what I wanted. I wanted it to feel like, yes, I can do it.
Okay, let's talk about...
And I love Beyonce.
A couple of recipes. New York City bagel French toast pudding with blueberry crumble.
Oh, Lord.
Woo. And then you have a little paragraph at the top. New York City is home of the bagels. In Queens alone, there's maybe 1,000 bagel trucks selling. You guessed it. Apparently, what makes New York City bagels so good are water quality and horrible air quality. Fun fact, did you know it takes more than 1 billion gallons of water to quench 9 million New Yorkers daily? I just Googled it. Are we thirsty or what? I digress. The half dozen eggs and pint of heavy cream put the French in this toast. This is a make-ahead recipe that feeds an army. The blueberry crumble topping alone makes it worth making this dish. How did you think to put a bagel with French toast and then a crumble on it?
Oh my goodness. First of all, this is the first time anyone's reading the book to me in my hearing, and that sounds just making me salivate here. You know what? I think it comes from, first of all, I've worked on this book with a team of people, with my friends, and so we're always inspired by what we eat and what we taste and where we go. And I think that's always the beginning and the starting point for me for developing a recipe. But it also comes down to like what's familiar for people, what's a little bit outside of the box, and then what can people access in their grocery stores. So for me, like the topping, the crunch factor is really important. Let's kind of break down textures here. Let's use something that people probably have sitting in their home, which is like leftover bagels. Everyone does it with bread, but people do have leftover bagels. And what do they do with it? They let it get moldy and then they throw it away. So, you know, the idea, the concepts for a lot of these recipes, what can we find in our grocery store? What's easy and accessible to get? And then how can we translate that into something that has variety of texture, variety of color, and that feels comforting?
What was a recipe you knew you had to put in this book?
Oh my goodness, there's so many. My dad's macaroni and cheese, my dad's collard greens, my dad. His coleslaw, my mother's curry chicken, which I just made this morning. You know, the rice and peas. Those are just absolutely hands down could not, this book would not be the book. I think I even say that in one of the headnotes. I think for dad's fish and chips or dad's fried fish sandwiches, that it would not be the book without that. Because
yeah.
that was who he was. That's what he brought to my life and my mom.
I've always wanted to try jerk chicken.
Yes.
Making it. I eat it quite often. I don't have to try anything. I will eat. I will hoe down someone some jerk chicken. But I've always been a little frightened to make it.
Okay.
Tell me what the secret is to good jerk chicken. You have jerk in here a couple of times. This one says jerk chicken with mango chutney. It looks so good.
Mm-hmm. The secret, wow, I don't know that there's one secret. I think that you've really got to, you've got to find what works for you in your jerk seasoning. You know, a lot of people are intimidated by the spice, the heat level.
That's what, yeah.
You know, so, you know, what I like to do is I think I call for like habanero or scotch bonnet peppers. You know, you can actually just use a little bit of cayenne pepper. You can just forget about the scotch bonnet altogether. Use a little bit of crushed red pepper flakes. Or you can go all in, use all the peppers all you like. And it'd be spicy. But I think it's just really figuring out what's that right marinade. Because once you've got that marinade on lock, you know, you can grill it, you can put it in the oven, and it will be delicious. The other thing I like to do is I cheat a little bit. If I'm making this in a rush, here's what I do. Ready? Big secret. I use barbecue sauce from the store.
Okay.
Okay. And then I zhuzh it up. So I add a little bit of allspice. I add a little bit of coriander, some cumin, some ginger, freshly grated ginger, some freshly grated garlic. And if I want that kick and I don't want to use the peppers, I use a little bit of my crushed red pepper flakes and I bring that to life. And so it's a little bit of an easy transition if you're not really willing to commit the time to make. Okay. It's okay, okay. Allison. We're your tissues. You know, so this is, I think, again, a shortcut. And I think a lot of times in cookbooks, shortcuts are frowned upon. You know, it's like, oh, you're not really teaching people how to cook. I'm like, you got to meet people where they are. Like, people live real lives, and I want to give them real food that they can really make. You know what I mean?
My guest is Lazarus Lynch. The name of his new cookbook is Son of a Southern Chef. There's these little tips in the corners that are called the gravy.
The gravy.
What is the gravy? What is the gravy supposed to do for me?
The gravy's supposed to fix your life. I say that the gravy is, you know, they're my tips and tricks, the secret and science of the soul behind the dishes. They're those little wisdom pieces, they're nuggets mm-hmm. to help you, support you in creating the best cooking experience you can for whatever dish that is. And that's just what I say. I always say make it gravy. People ask me all the time, Allison, please don't be the other person. What does that mean? Because I have no idea what that means, but I hashtag it on every post. I say it throughout the book. Make it gravy.
Just make it gravy.
Just make it gravy.
I guess it can mean whatever you want it to mean.
Right.
You've got a section called Birds on Fleek. You've got Dad's Mac and Cheese, as you remember. Flawless carbs.
Flawless.
You like carbs. It's so good in this world where people are saying they can't. Veggies ain't whack.
Veggies ain't whack. I love vegetables. They're probably my favorite food group on the planet.
And what is your favorite veggie recipe in here? I'm surprised. I'm interested, I mean.
Oh, my goodness. There's the asparagus, got a crush on potatoes, which I love. That's literally just asparagus and potatoes that are grilled. I love my peach salad with...
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Oh, you know the recipe. It's right there. The peach salad, you grill the peaches on the grill, a really beautiful summer dish. My family can get enough of that. And, you know, my roasted veggie sections. I think roasted veggies are so underrated. You know, put it on a sheet tray, 425 degrees Fahrenheit, a little bit of salt and pepper and olive oil. It will change your life. I do that almost every week. I create some kind of roasted vegetable.
Before I let you go, what are a few things you have to have in your kitchen?
Yeah. A good knife, a good chef's knife. That just means a really good sharp one that you feel comfortable holding. Always go for like a kosher salt. I like to use Malden for finishing things, Malden salt. You also should have like a good wooden spoon, a saute pan. I like a nonstick and a regular saute pan. A nonstick is really great for, you know, making an omelet, making some eggs, scrambling some eggs up really quickly. And that's it. And I just think, you know, add some style in your kitchen. Have some cute plates. You know, when folks come over, have some cute plates. You know, not the ones that, you know, cute ones, cute plates, color, vibrant. Yes.
You know, I love radio. This is one interview which I wish was video because the pictures are so fabulous. You've got how many different color nail polish?
Oh, my God. I did these last night. These are like four.
Four?
Yeah, four colors.
And they look perfect. They looked absolutely
right. Oh,
that's right.
Very generous of you. No.
If people want to check out, after listening to this and hearing us describe your book and the pictures and describe you, if they want to get a video taste of you, where should they go?
Ooh, go to my Instagram at son, S-L-N, of a Southern Chef. I'm Son of a Southern Chef everywhere. But go follow me on Instagram.
The name of the book is Son of a Southern Chef, Lazarus Lynch. Thank you for coming into the studio.
This was fun.
It was fun. Coming up next, Will Gleason, Deputy Features Editor at Time Out New York, discusses their guide to Pride celebrations all over this city. More after the break. Stay with us.